Paul Kurtman Show on News Talk STL.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. This is Paul Kurtman, News Talk STL on the Paul Kurtman Show. In the studio today with Leah. And I tell you what, there's so much to cover, but it seems like every week there's always so much to cover. And, you know, you can almost throw a dart at a dartboard. Like, where do you begin? And after a while, I don't know if anybody else would agree with me on this, but it almost kind of sounds like it's all the same stuff. Like, it's always the same news, but it's kind of like a different verse, you know, same song, different verse. The left-wing media, the mainstream media, predominantly left-wing. Hopefully some of that begins to change. I don't have high hopes for that, though, but you never know. CNN's got a new CEO who's wanting to make some changes, wanting to fire some people. But nevertheless, we're still continuing to see the left-wing media twist and contort the truth by either not being accurate in what they say or just leaving the truth out of what they say altogether. You know, like the Miranda rights. Or no, it's not the Miranda rights. Is it? Let me see. No. When you're in court, swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. See, that's important to getting the whole story. You have to tell the truth, the whole truth. You can't leave anything out, because if you cherry pick what truth you tell and you don't tell the whole truth, well, then you can still deceive people by giving them a misrepresentation of the facts. So this week, one of the headlines that's been making its way around, something that's been talked about a lot, has been this attempt on the life of Justice Kavanaugh by this guy named John, I don't know how you say his last name, Roske. This is crazy. If you go to paulkurtman.com, you'll see the picture that the media is passing around to tell you who this guy is. They have a picture of him. John Roske. He's a 26-year-old man from California. He was arrested in Maryland. When they arrested him, he had a kill kit with him. And he told the police that he was on his way to kidnap and or kill Justice Kavanaugh. A 26-year-old man. Leah, let me ask you a question. If I tell you to describe a 26-year-old grown man, what is the first thing that might come to mind when I'm telling you to describe a grown man?
I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind, which might be wrong, is mature, like maturity. You'd think by 26, they'd be...
They kind of look like they're probably going to look for several years. They've developed. Yes. That's a really good answer. Now, the picture that the media is sharing around to show us who this guy is. Keep in mind, this is in the age of social media. Everybody, almost everybody in the world, either has direct access or is a stone's throw away from accessing the internet, has a Facebook account or an email address. The picture that the media is deciding to use for this guy is from 2012. A 26-year-old, and the media is using a picture from 2012. So they're using a picture of a 26-year-old, but the picture is from when he was 16. So when you see the picture that the media passes out, this guy was on his way to kill Justice Kavanaugh, you would think to yourself, oh, well, that's just one of those empty threats. He's a kid. He's not really going to do anything. It's just misguided. And so immediately you see the picture and you think to yourself, there's not really a lot to this story. But the truth of the matter is the media is trying to deceive you because they're leaving out the whole truth. They're not telling you, not giving you the full picture. Literally, in this case, they're not giving you the accurate picture of exactly who this guy is. He's a left-wing fanatic. He's 26 years old. He follows different left-wing organizations, groups, and the media, as well as so many of these people that have been allowed to spout out their vitriol on Twitter. You know, conservatives will get banned if you tell a joke. The Babylon Bee's gotten banned from Twitter. They had their account suspended because they told a joke that people were offended about. This guy's not trying to just offend Justice Kavanaugh. He is wanting to kill him. So John Roske, 26-year-old man from California, was arrested And this picture that you want to see, if you haven't seen the picture yet, go to paulkirkman.com, scroll to the bottom, find radio number 51. You can see the picture there. In fact, I managed to find the one picture. They're all passing around this yearbook photo. I actually found the picture of the yearbook and the yearbook photo together, so you can see that it is clearly from when this guy was 16 years old. I am 40 years old. I'm 40. So if I ever did something bad and the media wanted to say, oh, look what Paul Kirkman did, I would expect they would go to one of my social media accounts and find a relatively recent picture, maybe within the last couple of years, or maybe find one that one of my friends posted of me. But let's make this proportionally accurate, all right? The media, in order to give a misrepresentation of me, the media would literally have to go back like 15, 16, 17 years and then put that picture of me out. That would have been, man, that would have been like right after I left the Marine Corps. And the way I looked after I left the Marine Corps is entirely different than the way I look now. But even when I left the Marine Corps, I was already a full-grown man, so it might not be that much different. You could still tell. This is like the difference between a 3-year-old and a 16-year-old versus a 16-year-old and a 26-year-old.
So did he just not have any social media?
Oh, no. I'm sure he had social media. There was family pictures. So there's another picture of him out there that shows him like when he's a little bit older. But the picture that the mainstream media has chosen to use in mass is this picture from a yearbook from 2012. Because the media, they want you to think that they're giving you the truth when in all reality, they are lying to your face. They're just doing it through your mobile device. Go to paulkirkman.com. You can take a look at that picture. I'm showing Leah right now.
I'm looking
Does
at
it. Look
it.
Like, oh, you got it already? Yeah. Does that look like a 26-year-old
no,
man?
No, looks like a high schooler.
Looks like a kid that's on the... Looks like he's still swinging a T-ball bat. My word. But this is the media. This is what we're putting up with now. They lie to us. And they constantly lie. I was talking to Tony Colombo about this the other day. Joe Biden goes on, was it Jimmy Fallon? Was it? No, Jimmy Kimmel, right? Mm-hmm. He was on with Jimmy Kimmel. And when you listen to the interview, Joe Biden is obviously getting lost in his answers. He's starting to answer something, but then, you know, he just kind of phases out because he loses his train of thought, doesn't know what to say next. And so Jimmy Kimmel comes in. He just kind of coaches him along. Well, yeah, Mr. President, and this, and this. Wouldn't you say? Is that right? You know, talking to him, literally talking to him as though he's a geriatric in a nursing home who's already kind of out of his mind. And so you're just trying to be nice to him and make him feel comfortable, make him feel at ease. That's how people talk to Joe Biden. They wouldn't do that with Donald Trump. No, with Donald Trump, every time he ever faced anybody from the media, there's this one interview. I just thought of this just now, but I remember watching an interview. There's so many of them, too, but you could probably find one anywhere on YouTube. Someone sits down with President Trump, and the first question out of the mouth is, are you sorry for all the lies that were told from the White House press conference room about such and such situation? Like, that's how these interviews would begin. But no. Not with President Biden. Why? Because the left is, the media is the left. But let's go back. Let's talk about a couple other things. Right now, one of the big conversations happening across the country has to do with gun control and the NRA. There were protesters showing up at an NRA convention in Texas just the other week, maybe 1 or 2 weeks ago. They're protesting, they're screaming, and they're putting on huge demonstrations that are really dramatic, right? Did you know, okay, NRA, everybody kind of associates it with this right-leaning, But that's not true. There's leftists, there's people that are Democrats that are also members of the NRA. In fact, when I was running for state representative in 2010, a race that I won, I was knocking doors, and there was this one guy that came to the door. I love to tell the story sometimes at different speaking engagements that I have. This guy comes to the door, and he tells me he's never voted for a Republican at any time in his life, and he's not about to start. And I was just said, okay. Well, he starts talking, and I couldn't get away. He just kept talking, so I was being nice and just polite. And he was naming off all the things he had a problem with. And this guy's going down like the Communist Manifesto. It is clear to me this guy is a straight-up communist. But then he gets to this one talking point that he has, and he says, I don't want the government to take my guns. Turns out he, as a communist, is a lifetime member of the NRA because the one area that he agrees with all these right-wingers on is the area of guns. He wants the freedom to keep his guns. He's a duck hunter, and I don't know what all else he does, but he has a large collection of firearms. So it turns out he did vote for me. But nevertheless, the mainstream media is always going after the NRA. They want to get rid of 501c4 organizations. They call it dark money. You know, they want to know who all these donors are to the NRA. So, you know, whenever people start talking about dark money, we got to get dark money out of politics. You better think very carefully about that. These rules of privacy, you ought to be allowed to give your money to somebody else and not be forced to tell the whole world about it. Because if suddenly all this is made public, well, then the left has everything they need. They'll go right for the NRA, and they'll start to harass and target the individual NRA members because now it's all publicly reportable. Did you know that the socialists also have their own rifle association? I'm not making this up. You can find a link to their website. There's a chapter right here in St. Louis. It's called the Socialist Rifle Association. But how come we never hear anything from the media about these socialists who also have the almost entirely, with just a few exceptions, the Socialist Rifle Association has a lot of the same basic values of gun ownership as the National Rifle Association. The big difference is this: the Socialist Rifle Association thinks that it's important to exercise the right to keep and bear arms because they think they're fighting an oppressive capitalist system, you know? And so they want to build a community of people who just aren't capitalist. But you never hear anything about the Socialist Rifle Association. They got thousands of members, or at least thousands and thousands of people that like their Facebook page and the different Facebook pages all across the country. You never hear anything about the Socialist Rifle Association. You always hear the left-wing media talk about people and trying to put them in the camp of militias. All these dangerous, angry, right-wing, white supremacist militias. There's left-wing militias out there, too. In fact, it was a member of a left-wing militia. Do you remember a couple summers ago, the CHOP, the Autonomous Zone, up in wherever it was? Was it Portland or Seattle? They had surrounded all these different city blocks. The police couldn't even go in. They had it barricaded. The mayor was saying, oh, it's going to be another summer of love. But people were getting stabbed and raped, and property was being stolen and abused and demolished inside the Autonomous Zone there. There was a 16-year-old who was driving up to the barrier. He was a passenger in a vehicle that was driving up to the barrier. And somebody in front of the barrier, they decided to open up, and they started shooting into the vehicle, and they murdered a 16-year-old kid. And you don't hear anything about that. Why is it so wrong for people who are conservatives to own guns? But you know what? If you want to let the Autonomous Zone patrolmen walk around with guns and murder people, that doesn't become an issue. In fact, it wasn't just somebody there that had a gun. It was a member of a far, far militant left-wing militia called the John Brown Gun Club. That is way out there on the West Coast. When you pull up their website and you look at their pictures, you would think that they are guys who are former veterans. Maybe some of them are, I don't know. But they're wearing all their tactical gear. They look very organized. They have patches. Everything that the media tries to say is something that is strictly conservative, and they use that to target us. That exact same thing is happening on the left. Most people don't know it. But they're out there. They're not trying to hide. It's just that we're not getting the whole truth from the left-wing media. There are left-wing militias out there, and they are directly responsible, it seems, from what information I have been able to gather, that it was one of their members that actually fired the shots. From what I've read online, whenever I've done some digging, because you can't count on the mainstream media to tell you the whole truth. Bias in the media. On my website also, I actually wrote an article, and I would encourage people to go read this. I wrote an article. Let me see if I can actually just find the title here. So the title is this: Follow the Truth and Expect Your Opinions to Change. It's going to be important for people, especially as the days continue to move forward, as the election cycles continue to move forward, progress and ramp up, and we get inundated with mailers, we get inundated with radio ads and television ads and social media ads for different politicians. Don't just believe things that reinforce the biases that you already have. Dig deeper. Look for the truth, and if you are wanting to follow the truth, expect your opinions to change from time to time, and give yourself permission for that to happen. If you want to defeat the left-wing media, the only way to do it is to be committed to finding the truth. You're listening to Paul Kerbin right here on News Talk STL. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, Getter, and Facebook. And make sure you go to Rumble. We're live streaming right there right now. But we'll be back here in just a couple minutes right here on 101.9 News Talk STL.
This is the Paul Kerbin Show on News Talk STL. Follow Paul on social media at Paul Kerbin. Broken so bad, you made a
vow, never get mad, you play the game. And welcome back to the Paul Kerbin Show. We are now in segment number two of three. And as you know, from one week to the next, I like to have guests. I like to bring guests in sometimes for the whole hour and just kind of listen to them talk a little bit about their life, about their business, and also maybe get their thoughts on some of the current situations, some of the current affairs that we're, you know, that we're discussing while we're on the radio, different headlines. Joining us right now is Joe Corbett. He's the owner of House of Pain, and real excited to have him on because over the last couple years now, going on year three, I guess, there have been a lot of small businesses that have really struggled throughout the pandemic. And now that most of that seems to be over, the whole nation and people are dealing with things like inflation. We just heard Susie Moore's clip, shrinkflation, where people are getting less product for their money and just making things worse. Joe, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate you coming on the radio today. I want to start off asking you this question. Can you tell us a little bit about House of Pain, what it is you've done there, but also I'm really curious to know, how did you make it through 2 years of government mandates and people trying to shut different businesses down and also having customers that might have been a little bit cautious about going to a place like a gym during, you know, the pandemic when the news cycle is constantly pumping in nothing but fear, you know, through the airwaves and through our speakers? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Hey, Paul. Love your show. When Leah reached out to me, I was excited to talk with you. So thanks for having me on. We started the gyms in 2017. Our first location was in Chesterfield Valley, and our second location in Maryland Heights, which is seems to be a lightning rod for Sam Page. We opened that in February of 2020, just before the shutdown. Great timing. And we actually bought the intellectual property in 2017. And it was an apparel company. You know, it'd been around for 25 years, dominant in the apparel space in the fitness industry. And we wanted to synergize the business and create a line of fitness equipment that was very high quality, commercial grade fitness equipment. And then also open the gyms to, like I said, synergize the business and really return it to its rightful place in the apparel space, because it was dormant 4 years before we bought the intellectual property. But yeah, we are surviving. And in spite of our overreaching government here in St. Louis County, and, you know, the shutdown was, in my opinion, I can't speak for anyone else, it was unwarranted. I think time will prove that we're on the right side of this thing. You know, the casino was open down the street. My next door neighbor is a hardware store. They were open. Dobbs Tire was open next door. You can argue if those are necessary. We feel that the gyms are necessary. There's a lot of people that come in through our doors that this is their way of life. This is their thing. This is their, a lot of older people, this is the only social interaction they have. We have people that are recovering addicts, recovering alcoholics. This is the routine now. This is what they need to survive. This is what they need to be healthy, mentally and physically. And we felt that we should be open. So we stayed open. If you know our story, the county sued us, and we sort of won in local and state court, lost in federal court. We got much farther than we even thought we would have. And we had a great legal team headed up by Chris McDonough, who was an attorney at that time and led our legal team. But now he's a judge in St. Charles County. The guy is brilliant, worked till, you know, one in the morning, several nights, making a case and really made the county look kind of foolish. The county actually had to hire Brian Cave, which is one of the most expensive law firms in St. Louis, to represent themselves because we had them on their heels. They were unprepared. They thought we would just roll over, and which we were not going to, and I won't ever. And I was surprised, actually, that more businesses didn't speak up. They just kind of laid down and took what the county gave them. And that's a scary thing. But, you know, yeah, you're right. The media pumped fear into the souls of society. And, you know, the support that we got from our members was overwhelming. It was they stood right by us through the whole thing. They were so appreciative that we stayed open. And like I said, God forbid, I hope I never have to do this again. But if we're ever faced with a situation like this, we'll stand up for what we feel is right.
Yeah, it's really one thing I noticed about a lot of businesses that were really struggling throughout that whole era of those government shutdowns was that the companies that really built kind of a community. They would have people that may not have been able to come to the gym or, you know, something like that, you know, every day or like they would have liked to, but they stuck with, you know, their community. They stuck with the businesses that they were a part of and that they supported. How is it looking for you now? Because, I mean, we have record high, 40-year high inflation. And right now, there's a lot of talk about a recession. Just earlier this year, the first 2 or 3 months of the year, it's being dubbed the Great Resignation because so many people are quitting their jobs because they don't feel like they have enough freedom at work. And so it just seems like there's a lot of uncertainty out there. But still, that sense of community in a business like yours is probably going to be really helpful. But how is it affecting people, your customers, right now as people are thinking about maybe having to tighten their belt? I would suspect that you've already anticipated different challenges that might be out there, whether in terms of keeping membership or recruiting new membership, just because when financial times become a little bit volatile, that's got to be a concern for you and other business owners.
Yeah, it's challenging. You know, there's business cycles. I've been in business for myself for 35 years, and not with House of Pain. We have other businesses also. I'll just be honest with you. Our budget is $2,500 a month for cleaning supplies. And, you know, how many memberships do you have to sell to just recoup that?
Wow.
That's probably triple what it was even just a year ago. And, you know, you just react. I mean, we have a cleaning crew at night that we hired, an outside source. We cut that back a little bit, and we're trying to staff that up to do some of that ourselves. The biggest problem I have as a business owner is I can't get employees. I was here till 10:30. I'm here at one of my gyms today. I was here at 10:30 last night, because I had people that don't show up for work. I'm here this morning, and I'm going to be here till probably 8 o'clock tonight when we close. And, you know, I just had somebody call in tomorrow. So we're trying to get ahead of the curve. We're trying to staff it up. We hire people. They don't show up. It's just a very different time. I've never, you know, I'm 60 years old. I was raised in a very different time. My first job was when I was 14 years old. You didn't call in sick unless you were really sick.
Mm-hmm.
My dad worked in Anheuser-Busch, and I don't think he ever missed maybe 1 or 2 days of work ever in, you know, his 40-year career at Anheuser-Busch. I mean, it was just a different time then. And now if so-and-so is having a graduation party, I can't come into work because I got to go to this graduation party. There's absolutely no commitment and it used to aggravate me when people would say, oh, it's the younger generation. I feel that it's not. I feel it's across the board now. I mean, we have, we employ college grads. We have people that are just coming into the workforce. There is absolutely no work ethic that we see with the employees that, and we do have some good employees. I'm not disparaging, you know, the entire workforce, of course, but, you know, for the most part, it's a very challenging time. Our biggest challenge right now is staffing.
Yeah. What you just said, it really speaks to the culture? Because you said the work ethic is changing, and I've talked to other business owners, and it there's people that have been in the workforce now for a decade or two, and suddenly they're behaving in ways that they probably wouldn't have back in 2000 or in the mid-90s, and people are just kind of feeling like they just don't have to show up if they just don't want to. It certainly is just a different era altogether. It kind of presents a whole new set of struggles that I think a lot of businesses just really didn't anticipate ever having to deal with when people just decide not to show up.
Absolutely.
But I know that there's a lot of people out there that would show up, you know, if given the opportunity, if they knew that there was somebody looking for work. There are people out there that are. If somebody, I know you're busy and that you probably got to run, but if somebody would like to get in touch with you, either to be become a member of the House of Pain, or maybe they want to talk to you about helping you fill one of those positions, where's one of the best places that they can go to get in contact with you?
Oh, my gosh. Thanks, Paul. If you would just email info@houseofpain.com, that would be awesome. We will entertain all applicants. And can I just say one more thing on behalf of small business?
Sure.
Awesome. I would just encourage any small business out there, reach out to your state rep, your congressman or woman, and your senator, even the governor, and don't let up. We are in a weird place where we are working for the government. The government is not working for us. If I could step away from my businesses, I would run for governor tomorrow, because I just feel like there is absolutely no accountability, and I don't know how to turn that around other than to constantly voice what we demand as you know, small business owners and tax-paying citizens. When we were shut down and the county sued us, I reached out to Ann Wagner's office, didn't receive a response from her. I reached out to my state rep, no response. I reached out to Governor Parson by email, phone, not one response, not even from a staffer. My son went to college up in D.C. and worked for a senator up there. I know how it works. The staffers respond, and not one response. They hid through this whole thing. Mm-hmm. So our government, Republican, Democrat, it doesn't matter. These politicians think that we work for them, and this has got to be turned around. We've got to demand better. And I would just encourage all small business owners just to stand up and voice their opinions. We can't ever go through what we went through the last couple of years.
Yeah, that is absolutely for a lot. Speaking as I like to say, a recovering politician, I was in the legislature for 8 years, and
I know you were.
And one thing that I noticed was that for so many people, it's just a game. That's one of the problems with term limits. Quite frankly, a lot of people see just getting through your 8 years in state legislature as some huge accomplishment, rather than actually getting the work done for the people.
Yeah.
Because there's no accountability, like you said. It's a serious case of disconnect when the so-called public servants won't even respond to the people that they're supposed to be serving.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, I tell you what, Joe, at some point I'd like to get you back in here, maybe for the whole hour in studio if you ever can. But thank you so much for joining us today. And that's Joe Corbett from House of Pain. He can be reached at info@houseofpain.com. Thank you so much, Joe.
Thanks, Paul. God bless.
All right. Have a good day. Tell you what, what he just said right there at the very end is something that I think more business owners would be saying. We had Rick Pogan here just last week, and he has his small business association that he's putting together, his little small business alliance. And I'm willing to bet that if we brought them in here one by one to interview them, which, by the way, I am totally open to doing, bringing business owners in here one by one to have the same conversation that we just had with Joe. And I would say, I suspect, not a betting man, but if I was ever going to place a bet, this would be it. Most business owners who have had to struggle to keep their doors open, or they've had to struggle to get through the bureaucratic red tape of all these nonsensical government mandates from people that are totally out of touch with the struggles it actually takes to earn money yourself, I'm willing to bet that a lot of them would be saying the exact same thing that Joe Corbett from House of Pain just told us. When we come back, the segment that you've all been waiting for, the B or not the B. And if somebody wants to call in at 314-912-1019, it'll just be Leah, unless somebody wants to call in 314-912-1019. Play the game with us, the B or not the B, I'll read off the headlines. You tell us if it's a real headline or a fake headline. But we'll be back right here on the Paul Kirkman Show at News Talk STL.
You're listening to the Paul Kirkman Show on News Talk STL.
My bestie and your bestie sit down by the fire. Your bestie says you want parties, so can we make these plans?
All right, and welcome back to the Paul Kirkman Show here at News Talk STL. Now is the moment we've all been waiting for. It is time for the B or not the B.
Sorry, I don't have the clip ready.
All right, that's all right. We're going to move on. On the line, we've got Mike. Mike, thanks for joining us today. Are you ready to play the B or not the B?
I am, Paul.
All right. So the way this is going to work, I'm going to read through about 10 different headlines, and I'm going to ask each one of you if it's from the Babylon Bee, if it's a real headline, or if it is not from the Babylon Bee, because it's actually something that's happening. So we're going to go ahead and get started. I got a column here for each one of you. We're going to start with you, Mike. Okay. The headline is this. Feminist in Norway is facing heavy prison time for claiming that males cannot be lesbians. Is that the B or is that not the B, Mike?
I'm going to say not the B.
Not the B. Leah, what do you say?
I'll say not the B also.
All right. You both got that right. That is a real headline. There's a feminist in Norway who might be going to prison just because she made the statement and is backing the claim that men cannot be lesbians. Kind of makes sense to me. All right, headline number two. January 6th committee calls its first witness Jimmy Kimmel. Leah, is that a real headline or is that a fake headline?
I'm going to say it's real. That sounds real.
All right, Mike, what do you say? January 6th committee calls its first witness Jimmy Kimmel. Is that the Babylon Bee, or is that not the Bee?
Well, I saw that in the Babylon Bee a day or two ago, so I'm definitely going with it's
well,
the Bee.
That doesn't count.
You know, the secrets
well,
are getting
out
there.
Reading the Babylon Bee.
All right, here we go.
And you would know these things.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Headline number three. Chinese city asks people to close windows so that COVID doesn't blow in from North Korea. Mike, is that the Bee or not the Bee?
I'm going to go with not the Bee on that one.
Okay. Leah?
I was going to say the same thing.
Okay. That is not the Bee. That's actually a real headline. Chinese officials are telling people to keep their windows closed so COVID doesn't blow across the border from North Korea. Good work. Okay. Here is headline number four. Tesla employees' cars will now drive them to work against their will. As you know, Elon Musk is telling people they have to start showing back up at work, actually in the office. Employees are upset about that because everyone's been working from home for the last 2 years. So the headline is Tesla employees' cars will now drive them to work against their will. The B or not the B, Leah?
Not, the B. Sorry.
Okay. Mike?
I'm going to say it's the B.
Okay. Mike, you're doing pretty good. Right now, you're 4-for-4. Leah, you're down one. This is actually already the best score you've ever had. We're only half of the way through. All right, here we go. Here's the headline. Elizabeth Warren. Okay, little backstory here. We know that there has been an assassination effort. I'll say maybe not an attempt, but at least an effort on Justice Kavanaugh. Here's the headline. Elizabeth Warren caught in bush outside Kavanaugh's house wielding tomahawk. Mike, is that the B or is that not the B?
That's the B.
Yeah, that was pretty outrageous.
Yeah, I'm going to say the B too.
I'm sure President Trump was having a lot of fun with Pocahontas, right? Doesn't he always call her Pocahontas? Okay, here we go. We're gonna keep moving right along here. Here's headline number six. This year's Kabul Pride Parade canceled due to low turnout. Leah, is that real or is that false? Is that a real headline or a fake headline?
Yeah, I'll say that's real.
Mike, what do you say?
I'm going to say that is not the B.
You guys are both wrong. I had to make sure I got my check marks here. Now, listen, if they actually had a pride parade in Kabul, my guess is that it would be canceled. But
yeah.
But this one, the headline is from the Babylon Bee. This year's Kabul Pride Parade canceled due to low turnout. I would suspect if they tried to do that, it would be a very low turnout. All right. Here we go. That was number six. Here's headline number seven. After seven, we got just a few more to go. Here's the headline. Michigan County has rolled back its 911 services because first responders can't afford fuel. Mike, is that a real headline or a fake headline? Is that the bee or not the bee?
I'm going to say that's not the bee.
Leah?
Yeah, I'll say not the bee.
Okay, you both got that right. That is a real headline. Michigan first responders in one particular Michigan county are not responding to every call because they cannot afford the high gas prices. That's actually happening right now. It's a real headline. Kind of humorous in this game, but very, very serious, certainly for the people at Michigan County. Okay, the bee or not the bee? Leah, you're up first. People now have pronouns that change depending on the pronouns of the person they're talking to at the moment.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's real.
All right. Mike, what's the...
I'm going to say...
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to say it's the bee.
Okay. Actually, that is a real headline. That is a real headline. People now have pronouns that change depending on the pronouns of the person that they're talking to at the moment. Okay.
What's the score?
I guess it doesn't get any more meta than that.
All right, let's roll into another headline here. Biden administration to provide grief counselors at gas pumps. Is that the bee or not the bee, Mike? Biden administration to provide grief counselors at gas pumps.
I'm going to say that's the bee.
Leah?
Yep, bee.
Okay, you guys are both right. That would be pretty expensive, but I wouldn't put it past the government to get to there at some point. But you know what? Sometimes you just want a grief counselor when you're... paying $5 a gallon for gas. Okay, here we go. We're going to have one more headline here. Oh, where is it? Or did we hit them all? Did we hit them all? Okay, I'm just going to tally the score. I think I actually missed one on my sheet here. So we're going to go ahead and tally the score. So, Mike, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You got 6 right. And Leah got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Leah, this is a personal best for you. You got 5 right. Mike, you
lost.
Are the winner. You beat Leah in the B or not the B. Oh, congratulations.
Thanks. Guess I got to make sure I call in next week, too.
You got to call in next week and keep your record up.
Yeah, go for it.
That's right.
All right. Hey, thanks, Mike, for calling in and being part of the show today.
Yep, thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Well, that was fun. That was a first for us. We actually had a caller call in to play the bee or not the bee.
Yeah.
I feel like I kind of rolled through these headlines a little bit too quick, but we're kind of running out of time. And there's one other thing that I want to get to, and it has a little bit to do with some of those crazy headlines in the bee or not the bee. Look, the gas prices, grief counselors at the pumps. Yes, that is a fake headline. But the reason it's a good satire headline is because it kind of rings true a little bit that's how bad things are getting. And that's also how crazy our government is, that not only are things that bad, but they'll try to coddle us or make us feel like, oh, it's okay. Things are going to get better. They're not really that bad. In fact, President Biden has this to say about our economy. I'll go ahead and play this. I'll play this from my side over here.
Here's where we are. We have the fastest growing economy in the world.
Three times. Fastest growing economy in the world. The fact of the matter is that's just not true. And that's why people are fearing that we're headed for a recession. Because when the economy shrinks 2 quarters in a row, that's how you know. Like, that's like the threshold that you're in a recession. Well, we've already checked one of those boxes. We already got word that the economy has shrunk in the first quarter of this year, and we're hoping that it doesn't actually shrink further in the second quarter. You think the market's bad right now, being down 18%? If it's already down 18% because people think a recession's around the corner, you can expect how much further it could go down as people begin to sell off and begin to tighten their belt and people start shopping at Dollar General versus Target, right? You can expect people to start doing that because the people in the country don't believe that this is the best economy in the world. We were talking a little bit to Joe Corbett from House of Pain about how out of touch politicians are. It's not just politicians. It's pretty much anybody out there who has who is in the media, right? Geraldo Rivera. Okay, so there's a little bit longer clip,
no
but I'm going
to talk about him.
I'm going to go ahead and play this one from Geraldo Rivera because this just further demonstrates how out of touch some of these people are.
The president is absolutely right about that. And he has to do more of these interviews because he absolutely stinks in terms of the press conference. He just can't do it. He starts reading. He loses his place. He's not very effective in that presentation. But when he's there personable, he's like the grandpa. He's much more agreeable. And I think people listen more. But the thing is, he's got to get the message across. The economy's not that bad. I mean, I understand inflation. You see the gas prices go up. It's obvious. But the employment is at 3.6%. Unemployment's historic low unemployment. He's got to sell the good stuff and make America feel good about him and us.
Can't do that when you have record high inflation and gas prices. People can have a job, but they can't afford to drive to it.
Right.
Geraldo.
Listen, Geraldo Rivera saying, really, the economy's not that bad. It's really not that bad. This is what you would say if you had millions of dollars in the bank and you didn't have to worry about living paycheck to paycheck. This is what you say when the fact that poultry, chicken, is up 37% doesn't bother you. You would say the economy is not that bad when you don't actually feel the pain, when you don't have to decide whether or not you're going to buy macaroni and cheese to feed your kids. Or whether or not you're going to go ahead and buy them some meat, some vegetables, and some bread. When you have to start deciding how you're going to parse out your next meal to be able to make your kids not feel hungry, that's a problem. And the problem right now for most Americans is exactly that. And it's not just that. It's that in order to get to the store to make these decisions at the grocery store that have already been difficult, that they've already had to make about what they are going to buy and what they can't afford to buy anymore, just to get to the store, they've had to pay $5 a gallon just to get there. There are people to get to and from the grocery store now. They're paying $20 per round trip just in fuel, only to get to the grocery store and have to pay an extra 20% for all the groceries than they were paying last year, the same time last year. I think more people need to be having conversations with small business owners who are struggling to provide income for themselves, but in doing so, they have to make a lot more financial decisions than others of us who are just working for wages, for example. And you can really kind of tap into and get some insight exactly how difficult the economy is, and not just that, but also exactly how difficult it ultimately could be down the road, because they're kind of the tip of the spear in terms of personal finance. Thanks for listening to the Paul Kirkman Show. It's been good to be here with Leah on News Talk STL. Make sure you join us again next week, 101.9. Follow us on Facebook, Getter, Rumble, and Twitter. Small dumb way.